Hello and welcome to We the People. We all know that our military and our soldiers are the bravest in the world. They have shown illustrations of their remarkable courage again and again. Yet today we must ask the question, without being alarmist, is India battle ready or do we continue to be strategically vulnerable? These questions have arisen after the most recent CAG report, the Comptroller and Auditor General's report, has come out just this past week. And take a look at some of these staggering statistics. According to the CAG, the Army is facing a massive shortage of ammunition, reserves that would barely last 20 days of intense fighting. It actually gets worse. The stocks of 125 types out of 170 types of ammunition are not even enough for 20 days. Further, 85 types of ammunition, especially for tanks and artillery, will last less than 10 days, according to the CAG. Separately, the CAG has warned that the Tejas light combat aircraft has 53 significant shortfalls. These are some of the very key statistics that have got us talking today to ask whether we are battle ready or is this a misleading alarmist argument. Before I get the politicians in, I want just to get a perspective from General VP Malik, former army chief, at the helm when we fought our last war, the Kargil conflict. Sir, at that time, and I remember because I was there at the front line, I got to witness some of this, you famously said, we will fight with what we have. And at that time, some bureaucrats were quite upset with you because even then, you underlined the inadequacies of that moment. How much has changed from then to now?
Look, even today, if the army has to fight or armed forces have to fight, they shall fight with whatever they have. But as far as the battle-worthy state is concerned, it is not satisfactory at all. The first and the foremost reason I can put down is inadequacy of funds. And when the funds are inadequate, then your prioritization gets worse.
Is it not enough money or is it the way the money is being spent? Because
both.
We do see both. Money that is from the capital accounts that remains unspent by the MOD because there is no clearance for procurements.
Both. The second aspect is that we have to import almost 70% of our equipment, including
yes.
some ammunition.
Yes.
And you know the complex procedure that we have for any import. We do not have any defense industry worth the name. Third, I believe, is the capacity of our ordnance factories and the defense PSUs. It hasn't changed much. They really haven't been modernized, and whatever equipment that they are still producing has problems in that. And fourth, and I think this is the most important, with due respect to some of our political leaders and colleagues who are here, I think inadequate political interest, political oversight and monitoring.
Inadequate political interest is quite an interesting statement to make, because actually the military is the one thing on which politicians often play the politics of populism. So do television anchors, at least some of them. So why do you say inadequate political interest, and then I want Mr. Parthasarathy to come in and then we'll open it up for the politicians?
Because you keep only scratching the skin, you don't go into deep problems. There are much deeper problems in that, and I do find that things haven't changed very much. I wish our parliament and our political leaders go more into detail. There's no point in blaming the bureaucrats, because the bureaucrats will do whatever they are told or not told.
So in the end, it's the inadequacy of the political class. G. Parthasarathy, let me bring in your perspective here. Now, you've been a member of the Naresh Chandra Task Force on National Security. How much has changed since your task force made its recommendations? Has anything changed at all? And you know, when I was posting out this subject and we were doing it, I went through a little bit of what General Malik went through. There are people who don't want to address this. Say, why are you letting the enemy know? We shouldn't be discussing this in public domain. Is there any merit to putting a cloak over this discussion?
Let me narrate to you something which happened 20 years ago. There was a big hole in the production of heavy water. It pertained to our nuclear weapons program, which you never spoke about it. The CAG commented on it. There was a big hue and cry.
Yeah.
But it set the Department of Atomic Energy right.
Yeah.
They went about their work, and we have got a good pile of nuclear weapons to defend ourselves with. Now, I want to say something on a larger issue, Barkha. We inherited the structures we now have during the British times. The entire structure of the defense ministry is archaic. You have people in the ministry running the navy who don't know the difference between a frigate and a destroyer. You have guys running the army who don't know the difference between a howitzer and a field gun. Firstly, the structures first in the Ministry of Defense have to change. You have to have cross postings, service officers in the ministry, and the IAS guys also working in service headquarters. There has to be an integrated structure which the British and Americans have. Here, army in a democracy is subject to civilian control, which is the control of the elected leaders and parliament.
Yes.
It is not subject to civil service control by civil servants who know very little about what they are dealing with.
So you're saying in the end the buck stops with the political class.
I think the drastic changes, like, I mean, there's no secret, for a chief of defense staff.
Yeah.
For having cross postings of people from the military in the army in defense, this has been recommended by a parliament standing committee and not implemented. So I think, firstly, the Ministry of Defense itself, the structural changes and their service headquarters, bringing in a chief of defense staff. Secondly, change the Prevention of Corruption Act. You today, an honest civil servant, will not take a decision, because for taking a decision which may be wrong, 5 years after he retires, he'll have the CBI calling in his house. And the same thing with the services. You have to amend the Prevention of Corruption Act. All this has been recommended. What has happened to these recommendations? They have slept over it. And it's not just mine. Kelkar set up a committee to review the entire defense production, which you are doing now. Let me tell you the final thing. You want production, your HAL can turn out 2 aircraft a month at best. Your ordnance factories can turn out 20 guns a year. Unless you bring the private sector in a big way, ease off on these restrictions, you can't do it.
So this report is not alarmist?
I think, in my view, I don't foresee a war lasting beyond 20 days with either of our adversaries. But General Malik is right, we'll fight with what we may. But I think at least 2 months of war reserves are what's called for.
General Malik, before I get the Congress and the BJP in, do you, this business of a war, which war lasts more than 20 days? I mean, in Kargil, if the pullout of the intruders from Pakistan's army had not happened, the Indian army may have been compelled to open another front somewhere. You can't actually predict, because a war doesn't remain localized.
You're right. And we would have faced a lot of problems at that time. Although I'm saying that we would have probably done it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the point that we are making is that to win a war, which is must, absolutely, you have to have adequate weapons and equipment.
May I add one more thing to what General Malik said with regard to Kargil?
Yeah.
Kargil, the Bofors gun played a huge part.
Yeah.
Do you know we have had the designs for manufacture in India for 20 years and slept over it? We are only now commencing the manufacture of Bofors guns in India, which could have been 20 years ago. And the only reason we did it, because Mr. Antony, wanting to maintain his reputation, blacklisted every foreign company in the world.
I think that's the perfect cue to get a joy in.
Yeah.
Before you were a politician, you were a police officer.
Correct.
So you have some heightened sense, I think, of security issues than the regular Neta. Isn't this shocking? Isn't this scary what we're reading in the CAG report?
You know, Barka, one of the issues is that this has been a continuous shortage of arms for the past 50, 60 years. I mean, the CAG report is coming to reflect right now. So it's an issue which has been facing the defense forces for long. The fundamental question is, why does it remain? And I think what Mr. Parthasarathy and General Malik said is absolutely right. Even from, it basically starts from the system in the ministry. You know, you should have professional military men.
But he spoke about Antony and his sort of puritanical.
No, I wasn't.
I think I won't even.
No, there was a kind of paralysis in decision making. I think that's the important part.
And you need to accept that is a challenge. That is a challenge because the political class gets scared of
corruption,
taking position of corruption allegations falling, and it's a normal reaction. So, and unfortunately, it lands up in creating a lot of shortages.
Who is responsible for what we've seen in the CAG report?
Now, so see some of the stuff like look at it even as a professional. Like every time you need to procure small arms or weapons or anything else, at least continuous supply of arms. There should be a provision for long-term contract with the suppliers, which is available in every other private sector space. So those kind of issues. I think the issue is correctly said that the political leadership, and I'm not blaming whether it's BJP or Congress, it's not a political party issue. The issue is the political leadership not focusing adequately on the issue of national security and getting his hands around whether it is the...
You're saying there's no fundamental difference in the approach to this in between the BJP and the Congress.
And I'm also saying that as a political leadership and a political class, we have not adequately focused sincerely and seriously, I mean, we talk about the defense, but as far as the strategic, what you call time spent on defense, is inadequate.
Nalin, let's bring you in. We now actually do know the time period that the CAG report pertains to, and it's and I have a feeling that you're going to bring that up because this is till the end of 2013. But do you agree with Ajoy that it isn't a Congress BJP issue, that more or less it's the same defense outlays, more or less it's the same policy, it's the same approach?
Well, the buck stops somewhere, since you're on a program and that's how it is. Whoever is the leadership has to take the credit or the failings of what happened or did not happen.
Yeah.
Yes, this report is up to 2013.
Yes.
Now we can argue and say it went back to Atalji's time. Then I can argue back and say that for 50 years the Congress has been there. Let's move away from it. Has decision making changed in the Defence Ministry over the last almost 12 months? Yes. Are procurement suddenly falling in place? Today's newspaper has a major story about 1 lakh crore of orders being put out. Mm. They were pending. Mm. You spoke, Ambassador Parthasarathy spoke about the Prevention of Corruption Act. Mr. Jaitley is on the record at the CBI function speaking exactly this. We need to amend it. Because decision making, particularly in economic issues, even in a defense matter, may look appear malafide when there was
but
no.
But you are making a political point after saying you wouldn't.
Let me just
saying there's a difference in the Modi government compared
in
to
decision making.
The Manmohan Singh government.
Yeah. How many decisions were taken by the defense minister? Yeah. He was India's longest serving defense minister.
Yeah.
You can't forget it. But however, let's move to the issue here. On the ammunition point, one is that things have changed post 2013. The critical levels are not as high as it was 125. They've come down. They are expected to come down further. It will take the next few years. Second is, let's understand it from ammunition. There are four or five considerations that go into it. A, there's the cost. Second is the shelf life. Mm. If you have something that's high cost, low shelf life, then you also have to think of how many stock you want to maintain.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's not just a blind thing.
Okay.
Third is about manufacturing, make in India. In the last 1 year, the focus on defense is clear. Now, the Rafale deal is to speed it up. So, 36 aircraft you're asking in a fly.
I mean, you're anticipating my questions because my next question was going to be that Rafale contradicts the Make in India.
So, therefore, that's why I was coming to it.
Okay, but let me just get Ajoy.
I'm an anchor too.
Let me get Ajoy briefly to come in and.
One sentence only and then it'll end. And that's the point I'd say is that the defense minister that we have now, a full-time defense minister in Mr. Parikan, the decision-making process has been speeded up. It's been expedited. We can't compromise. With
and
security, it doesn't matter who's in government.
Did Antony compromise? And I'm not making it about one person. V.K. Singh, minister today, former army chief, when he was the chief, he wrote a letter similar, I think, to the issues flagged by General Malik when he was chief. The military has been underlining this repeatedly. Antony, if I remember at that time, when asked in parliament, said these are all rumours. This is alarmist.
Let's keep the weapon, the ammunition issue for a second, because whether it's Kargil or whether it's the situation has not changed irrespective of the political colour of the parties, whichever party.
But it's been your party since then.
No, I agree, but what I'm trying to say is, irrespective whether the Kargil arms shortage with some other government was in place, whether we were in place is not the issue. It definitely reflects on both sides.
Okay.
Well, in Mr. Antony's period, there were lots of arms procured, whether it's the Hercules transport aircraft, whether it's the helicopters, and a lot of other, you know, the projects, whether it's the Ariane.
I'm just talking about his response at that time to General V.K. Singh's letter. It was that these are all rumours. This is alarmist. I think that's where the debate is. There has to be an agreement that this is a grave problem. If there isn't even an agreement on that, then how is this going to be solved?
No, it's a grave problem. I think what Mr. Antony was definitely saying was that this issue with is the 20 days ammunition availability, whether it was 5 years back or 3 years back or during its period of, it's not. I think the issue was to a public seek official letter being leaked out and the methodology.
We are discussing this openly. The CAG has said it's a public document.
No, and
should the emphasis be on this being leaked out?
I think the larger issue of defense preparedness or the lack of defense preparedness ought to be addressed. You pointed out General V.K. Singh's leaked letter of March 2012.
Yeah.
He laid it out in black and white that the army is unfit for war. He didn't use these words.
But that's what it implied.
Yeah. And since then, according to the CAG report, we've gone further down. We've slipped. How can we fight a war?
General Malik,
just 2 points
war?
On that only.
Unfit for
it's
what?
Down to 50. It's
Sorry?
Down to 50. As of now, my information is it's down to 50. 85 is what was being spoken. So that's why I said critical levels are going. And secondly, the word is intense. So if you are looking at 20 days of intense, which may be in particular areas, but if it's not intense, the stockpile obviously is treated as larger.
But a war by definition, would be intense. I don't know for non-intense war because, General Malik, you can correct me. Colonel Sabra, I'm coming to you in a second.
It's just a very complex issue. Ammunition is a complex issue. We have the first line, we have the second line, and then we have the war wastage reserve.
Yes.
Intense, and normal.
Yes.
You know, these are different categories.
Yes.
And incidentally, they also differ from weapon to weapon, where you are likely to fight. For example, the scale that were applicable in 99, in my time, today they are no longer applicable, because we are now looking at a much shorter and more intense war.
Yeah.
So the scales have to
keep
be
shifting.
Monitored, they have to keep changing. But the point that I want to make is that this is not a problem which has occurred today. Incidentally, the CAG, even in 2011 report, also had mentioned about such shortcomings. And then when somebody asked him, what are you going to do about it? And all he said was that, well, this report of mine will go to the PAC, which is the correct procedure. And nothing happened after that.
And
PAC has got political leaders from both parties.
It may be politically correct to try and balance it out, but at the end of the day, the executive decision, Mr. Parikar will be responsible for the successes and the failures.
You're saying Antony was responsible.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that you can't ignore it.
Before this becomes a Congress BJP.
I don't want to, but I'm just saying that even the reports is by 2019. So the question is, again, I think Nalin trying to score points is not the issue. It is an issue which faces all of
us. Let's acknowledge that Antony at that time also made a statement that there can never be 100% preparedness. I remember that. He said there can never be 100% preparedness. Now, Amit Kaushish, there are those who argue this is alarmist. Antony himself argued that it was alarmist. Do you acknowledge the military's fears, the CAG statistics as well-founded, or do you question them?
No, I don't question it. It's a grave situation to be in. The point is whether something is being done about it. Now, what has not been talked about is the fact that sometime in 2009, the ministry actually took very serious note of it. And the CAG report itself says that in January 2010, a five-year roll-on intent was actually placed on the OFP.
Hmm.
The problem is that the OFP itself, at that point of time, of course, I was there, I know about it.
Hmm.
The plan was made in such a way that OFP's capacity was taken into account.
Mm.
And it was decided that whatever the kind of requirement they can't meet, you'll immediately initiate action to buy it from abroad and from trade. But we failed on all these fronts.
No, but have we failed? You know, the military usually is angry with the bureaucracy. But I think Partha made the point that it isn't about the bureaucracy, it's about the political class. And I just want to bring in Ravindra Gupta. You've been the chairman of the Task Force on Defence Modernisation and Self-Reliance. How is it that nothing has changed, Mr. Gupta?
Something is in our DNA that we are laid back and we somehow don't get exercise.
How is it in our DNA? I mean, it's not in the DNA of the soldiers and the jawans who go and serve at the front with whatever they have.
No.
It's certainly not in their DNA.
No, Barkha, it's about doing things about your vigilance, about your alertness. How do you handle a situation? We just talked about the ordnance factories. Well, ordnance factories, or for that matter, defense PSUs also, there was never any emphasis on being efficient, on being innovative. They worked on a cost-plus basis.
But whose fault is that? If the PSUs are not efficient or innovative, whose fault is that?
It's our fault.
And who is R, sir? Time, who is R? Jab aap kehte hain R, who is R?
It's the government. And time and again, recommendations have been made for restructuring the Ordnance Factories Board. But somehow, no decision has been taken. One of the reasons that has been pointed out also is that unions have not liked it, and therefore this has not happened.
Do you agree with the findings of the CAG report? Do you agree that we are unfit for battle when you pare it down?
Barkha, it's not that easy. As was pointed out by other speakers, that this is not something new. It's been there with us for many, many years. Now, there are many questions which General Malik also pointed out. Let's say the question of resources.
Yes.
Kaushish is here. Now, I don't see the way the fiscal deficits or current account deficits and all that are going on, the government will ever be in a position to upscale the provisions for defense substantially.
Okay, but hold that. Amita Pandey, the fact of the matter is, if there isn't enough money to scale up the defense spending, what about all the money that remains unspent in capital accounts? What about the fact that the Ministry of Defense is repeatedly not being able to clear or redirect it to the revenue account because the procurement clearances are just dragging their feet because nobody wants to sign a file?
You know, I think we really need to address some of the structural flaws which Ambassador Patsati pointed out.
Yeah.
We have 4 separate sovereign kingdoms in the empire of defense empire. We have the kingdom of the Department of Defense, the kingdom of Department of Defense Research, of defense production, and the armed forces. Now, each of these sovereign kingdoms has its own satrapies, its own dukes, its own principalities, each of which has its own autonomy. Now, working out a relationship between all these four, and most of these require, if you read the CAG report, shows how complex that relationship is. If you have a system like this, where working out a relationship with this is like working out a multilateral international agreement. You know, it really is.
It really is that much for me.
Yeah. Whereas it should be very simple. I mean, certainly something like ammunition, which is not something where you know the equipment, you know who the ammunition suppliers are.
Yeah.
It doesn't undergo major technological changes.
So, where would you locate the responsibility? See, what I have a problem with is everybody saying this has been happening for many years. It was brought to our notice, but nothing changed. Somebody has to stand up, step up to the plate and say, okay, we did this wrong.
See, by now the system is required.
That's not the right word. We know who's responsible.
Who's responsible?
But who's accountable?
Okay,
who should be held accountable? The Secretary of Defense Production must be held accountable if his OFB cannot produce after 5 years what they have contracted for.
I'm hearing Nalin say the political leadership responsibility should not exist.
We should privatize our ordnance factories. We should privatize the PSUs. Not just set up parallel private sector manufacturing companies.
But I want to come back to the question of accountability. It's a very important question, and I want Ambassador Parthasarathy after Nalin to come in. Yeah.
The final accountability has to be, should be, and is expected to be of the defense minister.
I think the fact of the matter is our structures are flawed. The people who take decisions have no real responsibility in seeing whether it works out. Again, unless you have an integrated structure and allow the soldiers to have a say in that decision making, keeping them out in a subordinate office is a ridiculous system. Now, unless you have, Truman changed the system by just saying, I'm sacking all of you.
But to change the system, you need political leadership.
I think the fact of the matter is, the political leadership has to say, I want this system, get it done or I'll sack the whole lot of you.
Exactly.
Well, let's face it, you know, I think both the Department of Defense Production and the Department of Defense Research are a drag on the system. Yeah. And someone at some time has to face this question squarely and say that we require a radical overhaul, we need to do away with this kind of stuff.
That's it, radical overhaul.
Once again, Nalin, what are you muttering?
I'm just saying, when you moved out the DRDO chief, then it was seen as political. So if you take decisions, you are beaten, and if you don't take decisions, you are beaten. I'd rather prefer my government taking decisions and being beaten rather than not taking them.
That is an interesting question of moving out the DRDO chief, right?
Barkha, it's not necessary to sack. It is necessary to change the structure of the system and make it one parliamentary responsibility.
That's what I'm saying. My own experience is that today, having just one defense minister to look after these four principalities, as Amitabh has
kingdoms.
I think you need today to have more political leaders as minister of state, so that you can empower them.
Why does the political class not believe the gravity of the situation, or the bureaucratic class?
This is exactly what I am saying, that they have not taken adequate interest.
Why?
Barkha, may I answer that question?
Yeah, why? Because when there's a war, you are expected to go there. They don't go there.
Since the 1950s, there has been a distrust of the men in uniform.
Look at the kind of people that you had as ministers, defense ministers, starting from the beginning. I'm not talking of today. I'm not talking of yesterday. But you can make out what kind of interest has the government been taking into that.
Who should be defense minister?
The other thing is that as I said today, it's a very complex issue.
Does it come down to, as Partha was saying, not giving the military a say at all in policy?
Yes, that is one. I agree with that. One of the reasons that military doesn't have much say when it comes to working, except during war.
Except during war, right. When the going gets tough. Colonel Thapar, your son was martyred in Kargil. For you, this is not an abstract academic debate. You speak here not just as the Fauji, but as the father of a young man who was martyred in a war. What has changed from what you've observed from then to now? This is personal for you.
Well, actually speaking, I don't think much has changed. If a change is there, now slightly some things are moving on the ground. we see procurements going on and things like that. But really speaking, the mental block still exists. Take the case of ORP.
One rank, one pension. Yes.
Yeah, it has been promised by the defense minister at various forums. Not implemented. Why?
I'll answer that.
Right?
Because the bureaucracy is not letting it happen.
That's what. Therefore, it's not proper, it's not altogether right to blame only the
political class.
The person working under him is become a detractor. The other thing I want to correct Mr. Menon, Kohli, in that the war wastage rates and our scales of ammunition are not adjusted as per the procurement we have been able to do.
Even inflation, devaluation of the rupee.
Nothing.
We have to remember, we import 70% of our weaponry and equipment. Yeah.
These scales are worked out by calculations.
But Colonel Thapar, can I ask you to speak?
I'll add to that.
Yeah, but can I ask you to speak as a dad for one moment and not as a colonel? Do you remember what they should have had and they did not?
Yes, I remember.
Can you speak about that?
I remember very well because I went in September that year. The soldiers went into battle with part-worn equipment, coats that were to go to the for condemnation to the ordnance depots. They were stopped and reissued because we didn't have enough ammo. The Bofors were in the danger of running out of ammunition. So we had to rush to South Africa and procure that kind of ammunition. Now this is in the face of the spirit of the soldiers, who did not carry their food but wanted ammunition to be able to fight there. So if we run short of ammunition at that moment of time, it's the worst treachery that our people...
And did you think of your son being among those who fought without... Literally, as no. General Malia, I keep going back to that phrase, fought with what he had.
Well, yes, he fought with what he had. You see the American soldiers at the same time fighting in Iraq and Iran. And you see it's a fighting machine. Each infantry soldier is a combat machine, whereas our soldiers with tattered coats and something dangling here and your Bisleri bottles in their pockets, I don't think that is very much to speak about.
You know, General Malik, actually this should be a national shame. And you know, when I hear this description and from a father's perspective, it should be a this CAG report should have set Parliament on fire, should have been a lead story. These are not at the top of public discourse.
I must tell you that their battalion captured a night vision device from the Pakistanis. And they were thrilled about it. Because through that, one officer could tell Vijayan that you go behind, now the Pakistanis are coming around you. Come back. And that kind of a thing.
So you're saying the Pakistanis had more than our
yes,
boys?
Yes, certainly. I have no doubts in what I'm saying.
I want General Malik to come in there and then Nalin, and we're taking questions as well if anyone has questions. General Malik.
Yeah. Look, the reason why I'm here today sitting with you is only because I think people should become aware of it. And there is no doubt what Colonel Thapar has said. There were a number of equipment which were with the Pakistan Army which was superior to ours, including some night vision devices. I mean, for example, we were using compass and binoculars which were of First World War vintage.
You're joking.
I'm telling you.
We're still using them, sir.
You know?
Sorry, sir. We are still using them.
So the same prismatic compass.
Of World War vintage.
World War I and World War II vintage. The same prismatic compass, the same pair of binoculars.
What has been pointed out...
I'm just looking around in absolute shock. I didn't know this. Yeah.
What I am pointing out to you is that our ordnance factories... Some of them were established during World War I. They have made no progress at all, hardly any. And the kind of stuff that they are producing, I'm not saying that everything is bad, but quality is a issue.
Balka, if I may.
Then after that, I want to go back to Ajoy.
Every army chief, I served as a staff officer with General Malik.
Yes.
Every army chief has written to the Prime Minister, to the Raksha Mantri about lack of defense preparedness, ammunition shortages. General Joshi wrote to the then Prime Minister, the figures don't matter, but something like there was a 13 to 14,000 crore worth of ammunition shortage in the mid-90s, and he laid down a bottom line figure of 6,000 crore, without which he said the army would be unprepared for war. The sloth runs deep. It hasn't changed.
But yet everybody knows there is a problem. We're divided here on whether it's the bureaucracy or the politicians who are stalling it. We're divided. I'm
it's
not
both,
hearing.
It's the both. System.
It's both.
It's the system.
It's both.
It's both.
It is the system.
It's the system.
Headed by political leadership.
So therefore, I want to go back to the question of political leadership. And Nalin, you have been making this point. Okay, you want to add to that before I go to Nalin?
Yeah.
Who is accountable with
that? One major factor which we have been ignoring, which is that corruption. Hmm. That the system is designed to breed corruption. So there is a basic interest against changing the system.
Who's going to change the system? And Ajoy, something to consider for the UPA years was Antony, because he was so paranoid about allegations of corruption, did he just refuse to do anything? And is that the legacy we're grappling with today? I'll start with you, Nalin, and then Ajoy, you can come in.
I have 3 points to make. Let's go to the system first. Unfortunately, it's a fact that 2 things happen within a system is a status quo, push the file. Yeah. You don't take a decision because you take no decision, you've committed no ill.
Yeah.
The second is, what is the corruption angle? Somebody may be honest, somebody may be taking a bona fide decision, which may be interpreted in 2 ways. And that's why you need to change the Prevention of Corruption Act. That's the point that Mr. Jaitley has raised, and our government is looking at it. Just as an aside on the OROP, this is a political decision that will happen. The question is about timing. Let's come to the...
What's stalling it?
Well, to be honest, funds would be one important factor.
There were two things, Nalin, 1 minute. There were two things that the Congress should have done. One was a national military memorial, and the second was one rank, one pension.
Let me put it frankly and candidly. You can only spend with what you have. And basically, if you look at the economic condition in 14, if you look at the true thing, we were probably in a far more precarious situation than we actually realized. So therefore, it's the art of the possible. You start doing it. The army would be entitled, or any armed force, to have a wish list of what they would like to see. The next is the permutation and combination, because after all, it's calculations. It's not just based on actual. You may have a calculation, should we maintain A, B, C.
Okay.
And the third is the available funds.
Where the political leadership comes.
Well, I mean, money, you can't have, for example, this debate happens in the media. Do you increase the budget for defense, but you don't increase for education? What about health? So, you know, these are the conflicting things, and a government has to look at all. It can't be one or the other.
No commitment should be given. One, in good time, we will give you. Don't give a commitment. 3 March, April, May, June, July. That kind of a thing is not on. And secondly, this many of us, you are not in an urgency as a political class. But we, who have to get it, are. It's an urgent requirement because many of us will leave this world without getting it.
Karan Thapa, I respectfully disagree.
So many people have gone already.
I respectfully disagree because the urgency, and I stand for it, I'm not here to take political credit. Decision making is happening. We are responsible for the condition.
One thing is, Nalin has to explain. What Karan Thapa is saying is exactly that if you're promised, irrespective, you need to find solutions to it, because you can't say I'll find out.
Can you address my question on the legacy of no decision making that we've inherited?
And Balka, you see, it's important for us to also accept that there were decisions which were delayed, and you know, whether during Mr. Antony's time, the whole environment of the ministry, of the kind of corruption allegations which can stick onto it, and it's because if we are in power, then the other guy is going to, you know, say that there has been a scam. If they are in power, the other side.
So the paranoia about being accused of a scam makes us compromise on strategic security.
The issue is, you need a visionary person to change the system.
Exactly. So it does matter who the defense minister is. I think Jai General Malik makes a really important point. It matters who the defense minister is.
No, like taking an example. Privatization, like BML, all the public sector, you don't have to privatize it, but you can get it out of the government. Public sectors don't have to be under government control. They can be, having government can have majority stakes in it, but doesn't have to be a lackey of the government in power. You have to bring tectonic changes in the process in which the defense ministry has to have 60 to 70% of defense officers.
You know, we talked about the defense budget. If you do not have adequate money, which is possible, then for heaven's sake, dilute the RM's operational directive for which you want people to be ready for.
Okay. The counter is you spend the money also which you get. That's another legacy.
Yeah, but
if you're not spending only what you get, how are you going to even meet those requirements?
So it's a problem that we should, you know, we should take it head on.
I want to come back to who's responsible for that capital accounts not being spent. But just 1 second. We heard from a father. I want to hear from somebody who actually was there fighting that war. And I have Bahadur Singh here. Bahadur Singh was one of the Grenadiers who was at the front line in Kargil. He's a war wounded soldier. He partially lost his vision इन दिस वॉर एंड बहादुर सिंह जी आप तो वहां थे, जंग आपने देखी, आपने लड़ी। यहां पर बातचीत हो रही है कि हमारी फौज के पास जो एक तरह से वेपन्स होने चाहिए, नाइट विजन डिवाइस होने चाहिए, स्नो बूट्स होने चाहिए, वो नहीं है क्योंकि हमारे नेता समझते नहीं कि कितनी बड़ी प्रॉब्लम है। आपकी तो जो आंख की साइट है वो भी एक आंख से चली गई, आप वॉर वाउंडेड हो गए। आप उस समय का याद करके हमें बताइए कि क्या आप लोग के पास नहीं था, किस तरह इतनी मुश्किल में हालात में आप वहां पर लड़ाई की आपने।
देखो जी, हथियार और अमुनेशन की कमी तो जवान लड़ाई में तो हार मानते नहीं, कभी भी वर्ल्ड में फेमस है इंडिया का जवान, तो जहां भी खड़ा कर दो वहीं डटा रहेगा। अगर हथियार अमुनेशन इनकी प्रॉब्लम आएगी तो फिर तो कुछ नहीं कर सकता ना।
पर प्रॉब्लम आई थी क्या शॉर्टेज थी?
हाँ, कम थे जी, कमांडर के पास रहते थे, अभी तो खैर ज्यादा हो गए थे बाद में। तो मैं तो 15 साल यानी 12 साल तो मैंने रिटायर हो गए ना, भी हो गए।
उस समय की बात करिए।
हाँ जी, उस समय तो कम होते थे।
क्या मुश्किल, सबसे बड़ी मुश्किल?
कमांडर के पास होते थे उस टाइम, बाकी देखने में
प्रॉब्लम आती थी। आपको खुद जो जवान थे क्या कमी थी?
बिल्कुल नजदीक थे पाकिस्तान के, देखने में प्रॉब्लम आती थी। जो नाइट विजन नहीं हो पोस्ट पे तो कैसे देखेगा, रात में कई बार सुअर खड़बड़ कर जाता था, उस टाइम फायरिंग शुरू हो जाती थी,
तो पोस्ट देखने में भी, ऑब्जर्व करने में मुश्किल होती थी। और कपड़े जूते सर्दी मतलब इतनी ठंड में
वो स्नो शूज तो सबके पास होते थे, एक स्पेशल जो जूता था ना उसकी कमी होती थी उस टाइम पे। वो जैसे पोस्ट पे 5 पंचा दिए, बाकी कमांडर की शूज बूट थी, कोई भी कहीं जाएगा वो उनको देते थे। वैसे तो सबके पास होते थे जो रबड़ वाले होते हैं, एक स्पेशल आते थे,
रबड़ वाले थे लेकिन स्पेशल वाले नहीं,
स्पेशल वाले थे 5 जोड़ी, जैसे कहीं जाना है तो बदल बदल के कमांडर उनको दिया करते थे, मतलब पूरे सबके पास नहीं होते थे,
मतलब शेयर करना पड़ता था। हाँ, कि 5 आदमी कहीं गए तो वो पहन लिए, फिर उन्होंने उतार के किसी और।
हाँ, ऐसे करते थे जैसे
वगैरह कवर।
Amara City Kohli has pointed out twice that projects worth 100,000 crore have been approved by the Defence Minister, which is correct, between Mr. Jetley and Mr. Parikar. But allow me to point out that 60% of these were approved by Mr. Antony as well, but they never reached the contract stage.
Why? Amit, maybe you can explain why.
Because of sloth in decision making.
Who's decision making?
Both political and bureaucratic. Who's? The larger issue here is there is a long-term integrated perspective plan, 15 years long-term plan. There is a 5-year defense plan. Sometimes these are approved by the cabinet, sometimes they are not. But once a long-term plan has been approved and the ingredients of that are given in the plan, why should there be a necessity for AON, acceptance of necessity?
Okay, let me just get a question here and then we're taking last comments. And if anyone has questions, please raise your hand.
Mao Zedong said that power flows from a barrel of a gun, but the barrel of a gun without ammunition, there will be no power flowing out of that. Okay, you're talking about 20 days. I'm talking about 1 or 2 days. If my soldiers don't have snow boots, bulletproof jackets, rifles of 50%, they're throwing oil into your eyes. How do you expect them to go for war on day one? The issues of ownership. It can be politicians, it can be bureaucrats, it can be soldiers in uniform. But the fact, it is collective ownership. Let's not wait for that missile to land in Lutyens, Delhi.
I mean, that last sentence might be a little bit alarmist, but I take your larger point. Yes, sir.
I'm Colonel Arora.
Yes.
I'm from the Corps of Ordnance.
Yes.
I was the Adam officer of the largest ammunition depot of the country. The problem which we have on a daily basis is that the civilian gentlemen who work with us, which is 90% of them, they're all under civil law.
Yeah.
They don't function. They pick up their tiffin carrier by 3:30, 4 o'clock and are heading towards the gate. And the same thing happens in the ordnance factories. The same thing happens there because there's no, you cannot run a defense institution by 90% civilians who are under total factory acts and civilian laws, who go for a tea break for 10 minutes and don't come back for half an hour. They go for lunch for 1 hour and they've gone half an hour early and they come 2 hours later. And the commanding officers and the army officers there are only trying to round them up.
Please. So you're saying the problem is the underrepresentation of the military in the ministry?
I would like to further expound on what the ambassador there had mentioned earlier. That the first and foremost, all youngsters in the IS who pass out from the academy, they should be sent to the army, not for just 1 week or 10 days, which is being done right now.
Yeah.
They don't even get a bird's eye view there.
Yeah.
They should be actually attached to the army for 3 years minimum and move from maybe from an artillery regiment to an engineer regiment to an infantry unit.
And you can see any bureaucrat accepting this?
No, why couldn't we do this? The Prime Minister, who's so pragmatic today, he must take size this whole thing and change the rules completely. You cannot have an ordnance factory manufacturing ammunition and winding up with their tiffin carrier at 3:30 in the afternoon. I used to be sitting in a depot where overtime is not allowed. Yeah. 5 o'clock the depot closes, 4 o'clock people start moving out, yeah, and I'm sitting with my files till 8 o'clock in the evening there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I don't have anybody to assist me.
Yeah. No, I do take a point, and I want to start taking last comments. Ravindra Gupta and Amit Kaushish, in a sense, there's a huge anger with the bureaucracy. Do you accept that anger is valid, Ravindra Gupta?
Basically, I mean, most of the speakers have made this point about the system.
Yes.
So it's not just the bureaucracy, it's the whole system which is to blame.
But is it true that the bureaucracy, in a sense, doesn't understand the military? The military is not given postings or representation in those domains because the bureaucracy resists that.
No, I won't say that. That's not exactly true. But what has been suggested time and again, that there should be greater intermingling, I think that's a good idea.
Amit, where are the obstructions that you face? In spending especially?
See, so much has been talked about bureaucracy. Bureaucracy is bad, whether it is civilian or military.
Yeah.
Take, for example, this capital acquisition. Now, this capital acquisition system that we have, it's a giant system. And despite that, we have in the last about 12 years, we have surrendered about 42,000 crores.
When you say surrendered, what do you mean?
Which means that we were not able to utilize.
We were not able to spend 42,000 crores.
We were not able to utilize that money which was allocated. So it is not just a question of civilian bureaucracy, it's a question of the entire system.
Do you recall? Is it a question of...
It's not just a problem with MOD, it's a problem with the entire government of India. Why should in the Ministry of Agriculture, for example, people be sitting who have not been in the field and who have done agriculture?
No, so you're saying farmers in the Ministry of Agriculture, soldiers in the Ministry of Defence?
If soldiers in the Ministry of Defence is the argument being made, then in the Ministry of Agriculture you must have...
No, are you being facetious or are you making a serious counter-argument?
No, I'm not making a serious counter-argument.
Because the stakes are not similar. No, the point is the stakes are not similar.
There are a lot of things which have been said. For example, the budget. This year, the more appropriate sort of indication of what we are spending on defence is how much we are spending in terms of in terms of the percentage of the central government expenditure. What I am saying is that we have been consistently spending about 13-14%. This year, actually, what we are spending as a percentage of the CGE is more than what we spent last year.
Okay. I think the system
is flawed. I second what General Malik began with at the very beginning of this program. Lack of political interest and lack of bureaucratic accountability.
Amitabh.
No, I think we always think in binaries, this politician versus bureaucrat, or bureaucrat versus armed forces. Yeah. This is a very silly thing. Let me just recount a bit of personal history. I joined the Ministry of Defense in 1990, was there for 5 years. When I joined in 1990, the war wasted reserve for many ammunition was down to less than 9 days. Mm. General Rodrigues wrote a thing. We treated that as a major emergency to build up the war wasted reserve. We were facing the worst ever budgetary crisis. We were facing the worst ever foreign exchange crisis.
Yeah.
Despite that, because of proper teamwork, by selling surplus stores, by raising funds from whole variety of different sources, by properly managing whatever was available within the budget, we managed to build the war wasted reserve back to 20-21 days, which is what was then supposed to be very good. So I'm a little surprised that, you know, 20 days is considered to be alarming. We were down to less than 9 days.
So you're saying don't think in binaries. Quick question here, then Nalin and Ajoy. Yeah.
Ma'am, I want to make 2 points. The first point is that the budget allocation to us is, now like this year, is 2.2% of our GDP. And if we see our immediate neighbor...
1.7%.
Okay, I stand corrected. And if we see our immediate neighbor, China, their budget is 3 times more than us.
Just one small point. I faced a CBI inquiry for 7 years for building up the ammunition reserves. And that scarred me, my career, for my life.
And you're saying many people will be scared of that kind of thing. Ambassador Parthasarathy, last thoughts.
No, I think, as I said, it needs total structural change, and I go with him. Department of Defense production needs to be the most changed.
Yeah.
All this has to be done structurally. I think some of the moves towards the private sector, widening the sourcing, is good. But unless
the political leadership says, this is the structure I want, you guys deliver.
Yeah.
That's the way change comes, no other way.
Ajay.
You know, looking forward, I think there should be a high-powered all-party team to, you know, with a time-bound program to implement it, because I think otherwise they're in power, we complain, we are in power, they complain, to put in a time-bound program with some leader who's got a high credibility.
Nalin, the all-party route?
They won't agree, but that's
they
okay.
Won't agree, but
well, I mean, when we see some cooperation in Parliament, it's rather
like what you did last time, but yeah. Rather theoretical. Like what I did last time, yes.
Well, thank you.
Okay, last thoughts.
So that's Mr. Gandhi's famous U-turn. So you're doing a U-turn and complaining on us.
Okay, come on.
That's what I said.
There is a standing committee on defence in Parliament. It is bipartisan. It has membership from all the parties.
So the all-party mechanism already exists.
But their recommendations are ignored.
Their recommendations are ignored.
Exactly.
Paronia on the question of corruption.
Yeah.
I want to know, in this 65 years, have we chopped any corrupt officials? I just want to know.
As a closing
okay,
comment.
Now in closing just comment, then Malik gets the last word.
See, we will not be found lacking. Government of India cannot be found lacking. And on military preparedness, certainly.
Yeah.
Yes, there are genuine concerns. But decisions have started. Decisions are being seen. We have a long way to go. Perhaps all may not be implementable in 5 years, but we'll set the tone at least. You judge us for that. We would not like to see our defense preparedness in any standards compromised.
General Malik, last word.
I just would like to emphasize 2 points. One, of course, is that the political leadership should now sit up and take notice of this, that whatever is, you know, state of affairs here. And secondly, I do believe that unless we improve our own domestic industrial capability, we will be nowhere. I mean, 70% of import is absolutely bad for your national security.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to start producing stuff yourself, and we should emphasize on that.
That's the focus which the government is saying. We want to make an
impact. We have to end on saying that it is time that political parties take this seriously. It should not take another war, another conflict. It should not take us being in crisis mode for this to be prioritized. Parliament should have a threadbare discussion, a debate on it to start with. Why has this CAG report not got more attention than it deserved? These
because
are questions
of
national security. I'm hearing Nalin saying something about the Congress. That we'll wait for the next session of Parliament for you to thrash it out. But meanwhile, our soldiers actually have to fight real battles and not just rhetorical ones in television studios or on the floor of the House. We'll leave it there. Thank you so much.